The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. That's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, how much of that reading was actually talking about when Jesus was born?
None of it.
There was one little bit. Verse 25. "But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." That's the most of the detail we get here, isn't it? It's not very much at all. And that's because, yes, God wants us to know that Jesus comes, but he wants us to know even more the why. And we're going to think about that now. So let's just pray. Do keep your Bibles open at that passage, but let's pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we do thank you so much for sending Jesus into the world. But now we pray, Father, and as we once again return to a familiar story, that you'll open our eyes to see once again why Jesus came and why that is so important for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone was saying to me a couple of weeks ago, they said, "It must be really hard being a vicar at Christmas, because to say something new about the Christmas story." Actually, it's not my job to say something new. It's my job to tell us and help us think about what's already there in the Bible. So it's not as hard as people think sometimes. Well, earlier we were thinking about recognising Charles as king. But what about this baby? What about this baby? If you'd been in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, you could have seen the baby Jesus. But how would you have known that he was no ordinary baby? How would you know that he was God's special king? Well, God didn't want to leave people guessing at how important baby Jesus was. God, you know, he could have given Jesus a crown and an orb and had him be born in a palace. But God didn't want to do it that way. Instead, please look with me at chapter 1 and verse 18. Verse 18, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about." It's not just the birth of Jesus, it's the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. And the Messiah is an old world for God's special king. And in fact, the first part of Matthew chapter 1 is all about the Messiah coming and the line going back all the way to David and actually all the way back to Abraham. See, this wasn't the birth of Jesus, just the birth of Jesus. This was the birth of the Messiah, God's King. And the rest of the story is going to tell us about not just the birth of a baby, but the birth of a king. And for us, the question that we're faced with is this: will we recognize baby Jesus as God's King, as God's special King? And the first way that God just wants to show us that Jesus is king is by giving baby Jesus a miraculous start. Because when something happens in life unexpected, it makes you sit up and listen, doesn't it? It's all like, ooh, what's going on there? So for example, I've got an orange here this morning. Here we go. I don't want to make a mess. So I've got an orange here. And if I take this orange out and if I stab it and then give it a good old squeeze, can you see? Ooh, Is that looking right? That's not looking like orange juice, is it? You can't see it. No, I don't want to make a mess. Actually, it's blackcurrant juice. Yeah, now that seems a bit weird, doesn't it? You wouldn't expect blackcurrant juice to come out of an orange. Now, clearly I'm not much of a magician. You all know how that's happened. But when something unexpected happens, it makes you think, what's going on? How's that working? Well, if you look at Matthew's account of what happened that first Christmas, let's just look at verse 18 again. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. See, Joseph and Mary, they were engaged to be married, and one day Joseph has the shock of his life. Mary's expecting a baby. Now back then, only people who were married normally had children. And Joseph knew the child wasn't his, because they weren't yet married together. They weren't living together. So he came to the only logical conclusion that he could come to, that Mary had been unfaithful to him. Now, that's a big deal for any couple, isn't it? And Joseph didn't want to marry Mary, because he's thinking, she's lied to me. But before I could break the engagement up, we read this in verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. See, Mary hadn't been unfaithful. She hadn't broken Joseph's heart. Instead, God himself has started that baby growing in Mary's womb. A miraculous start to life. Now, I know we've heard of the virgin birth many times, and it's easy to fly past it, isn't it? But God, one of the reasons why God did it this way, because he wants us to know that this baby is God's special king. In fact, he's even given us a heavier hint, isn't it? Not just God's special king, but also God's special son. Now, some people don't think that God could have made Mary pregnant. I mean, they say, oh, miracles like that can't happen. And if God wasn't real, of course miracles like that couldn't happen. But the Bible tells us that actually God created the world. He had Jesus walk on water and do a whole bunch of other things. In fact, Jesus died on the cross. He then rose to life 3 days later. I mean, if God is real, which obviously we're convinced that he is, miracles make perfect logical sense, because God can do that type of thing. It's not a problem at all. So this miraculous start to life for Jesus should make us sit up and listen. Much more than me squeezing an orange and seeing some blackcurrant juice come out, or not seeing it if you sat at the back. Something 2,000 years ago, which was happening, was totally unique. But that's just the beginning, because next we have God's special messenger. And verse 20 again. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. An angel rocked up in a dream. Now, I don't know about you, I've had some pretty weird dreams over the years. And I've had some people try to convince me of things because they've had a dream. I mean, this is going to happen because I've dreamt it. And the vast majority of those have been a bit doolally. But this is no ordinary dream. This is an angel. A divine messenger from God who appears in Joseph's dream, and who we're going to see in a moment, starts quoting the Bible and saying some very specific things. Now again, at the very least, it should make us sit up and wonder what's going on here. Something special is happening. And interestingly, so often the focus when it comes to angels is people want to know, what do the angels look like? We don't get told. It's what the angel says, which is the important thing. And that takes us to our third point this morning. God's promises coming true. And please look with me at verse 22. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, God had made a promise hundreds of years beforehand about a unique person who would come into the world and rescue his people. And here is God that very first Christmas saying, That promise that I gave all those years before is coming true right now. You know what I mean? I could say here, I could stand here this morning and say, Hosanna over there, I'm going to predict that Hosanna's going to be Prime Minister in 40 years' time. Right? And if that were to happen, if Hosanna did become Prime Minister in 40 years' time, it would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? And it would be pretty amazing for Hosanna, and her mum and dad would be very proud and all that. But you'd also think, Mike made that prediction, it might make you listen to me more than you do. No. But you know what I mean? You'd be sort of thinking, wow, I've got to listen to what he has to say. Well, here is God saying, making his promise and then keeping it. Be impressed. And actually, he's not even saying be impressed with me, but be impressed with the baby who was promised, with this king who was about to arrive. Because when this king arrives, it's not a crown or an orb or a palace that shows us that he is God's special king. Instead, it's a miraculous start. It's a divine messenger. It's a promise kept. Pushing us to sit up and consider, is this baby really God's king? Because that's the question that's given us in verse 18. The coming of Jesus, the Messiah. But then the real shock comes with what this king has come to do. Because he's a king who's come to save people from their biggest problem. I'm thinking, what's the job of a king? And let's just think of King Charles. What does Charles do? Dave, I can see you're about to say something cheeky. What does Charles do? Go on, Sam. He attends ceremonies, that's correct. Anything else that he does?
Spends money.
Represents Britain, spends money apparently. My children are quite strong Republicans. You might have guessed. Spend anything else? He opens things, doesn't he? And diplomacy and hosts people at Buckingham Palace. And whether you actually like Charles or not, and he obviously does lead a privileged life, he does work hard, doing lots of things. And I'm sure there'll be things that he does do which he'd prefer not to do. I mean, most people at his age are retired. And he definitely is not. He is serving, trying to highlight environmental issues or problems of poverty or war. And these are things that kings and queens should be using their influence for good over, shouldn't they? But it's nothing compared to the job that King Jesus has. Because verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you have to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. The Bible is crystal clear from beginning to end that humanity's biggest problem isn't war, or poverty, or illness, or even which political party is in number 10 Downing Street at the moment. The biggest problem is our sin. The desire of every single person on this planet to put themselves in charge of their own life, their wants, their needs, their decisions, putting themselves first ahead of God. And remember, it's God who gave them life in the first place. It's all about the middle word letter in the word sin. I. It's a cry of our culture today, isn't it? Me, I. But to be honest, it's been the cry ever since the Garden of Eden. And even worse, people go around thinking that God won't notice. Or that if he does notice, that he isn't bothered. Well, God is bothered a lot. My sin, our sin, it's hugely painful to him and can't be ignored forever. Someday, God will say enough is enough. Sin, evil will be stopped on the day of judgment. But before that day comes, God says, I want to save people from their sins and its consequences. And this baby, he's the man who's going to do it. King Jesus. He's going to save us from our sin. Or to use the language of verse 21, he will save his people from their sins. And to make doubly sure that we get this, he's then given us a name, the name Jesus. And Jesus means God saves. And then to make doubly sure that we get it, another name is given to this baby, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us as he solves our biggest problem, our sin, all wrapped up in this baby. Now, at this point in the Bible story, we don't have a, especially in Matthew's Gospel, we don't have much to go on how he's going to do that. You could go back into the Old Testament, yes. But in Matthew's Gospel, you're sort of going, but how's he going to do that? And we're not told until we read on in Matthew. Because God at this point is just saying, I want you to sit up, I want you to think, I want you to notice. This is my special king. He's asking us this question, will you recognize Jesus as God's king? Because if you do, and I know lots of us already do, that's great, isn't it? And this Christmas time, why don't we recommit to following our king day by day? Because yes, we know Jesus is our friend, he's our savior, he's our helper, he's our God, but he's also our king. Will we honor him and cheerfully and willingly live under his rule? And if you're here this morning as someone who's not yet bowed the knee to King Jesus, it's great that you can be with us. But this morning, God might be giving you that nudge to sit up and listen, to look into Jesus more fully in the coming months, and God willing, find out that Jesus really is the king that we're told about here, who can save you and us from our biggest problem, sin. And not just at Christmas time. Some of us will remember an advertising slogan, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. Well, the same is true of Jesus, because at the other end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God with us. Or to amend that advertising slogan, Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, you knew when Jesus came into the world that first Christmas that Jesus was totally unique. You knew how much we needed King Jesus to save us. I thank you, Father, that Jesus came to do many things. He wasn't one-dimensional, but he did have a big purpose at the very heart of it. Thank you for making that so clear. Thank you that Jesus went and lived a perfect and wonderful life and went to the cross and rose again to win that forgiveness, to win that salvation for us from sin. And as we celebrate this Christmas, Father, help us to see clearly Jesus, our wonderful saving King. In his name we pray. Amen.